Now, may I say to you that we have here two things that I'd like to call attention to, and both of them are in chapter 9. What effect did this have on Jeremiah? How did he give this message? Was he one of these hard-boiled fundamentalists today that likes to criticize somebody else and rule them out? No, he was not that kind at all. Here is what he says in chapter 9, verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. Now, this is the effect the message had on Jeremiah. When he stood there giving that message, tears were streaming down his eyes. And that's the reason that the people later on, when Jesus wept over Jerusalem, and though he gave a harsh message, he could weep over the city. They could say, well, they think he's Jeremiah because of the fact that he was weeping. The message he gave broke his heart. And that's important. I believe today, as someone said about Dwight L. Moody, an unbeliever in Chicago, a businessman, they asked him, although he was not a Christian, why he went to hear Moody especially preach on the subject of hell. He says he's the only man that I know that has a right to speak on hell because he has a concern for people. May I say to you, my friend, the person you're criticizing today, do you really love them? Are you concerned about them? Are you concerned about the church, really? Are you concerned today about the ones that we point our finger at and find fault with? Well, it broke Jeremiah's heart. Now, the second thing, I called attention to this. It's these two wonderful verses. You can actually lift them out. They stand alone, but they certainly need to be put in this passage here. Verse 23 now of chapter 9. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Now, I want to be very frank with you. I have no confidence in any unsaved man that he today can exercise loving kindness or judgment and righteousness. I don't think he can do it. And I think that history and the world bears evidence that this is true, that you have to know God. The things we trust in today, of course, wisdom and riches and power, we speak of the atom bomb that we have got with one of the great world powers. But friends, we're weak on the inside, and that is the thing that's important. We've lost our moral purpose. You remember when we entered World War II? And they revived that song they had sung before. The Yanks are coming. The Yanks are coming. Oh, my, we had a moral purpose then. We had a high sense of right and wrong. And now we've lost all that. It was Dr. Machen who said America's coasting downhill on a godly ancestry. And God have mercy on us when we reach the bottom of the hill. And Dr. Heimer, the professor of history at the University of Michigan, made the statement that we can go the way of Babylon because we've lost our moral purpose. Well, today, that's the condition of America. We are in that. And our strength today is not in the brain trust. Our strength today is not in Wall Street and the stock market and the economy. And our strength is not in the smartness of these politicians, and our strength is not in the fact we've got atom bombs. Our strength is in that which has to do with the spiritual. moral values, character, and purpose. And these things are not even taught today in our schools or in our colleges. And we have brought forth a generation that is rude and hairy. A generation that has no sense of moral purpose at all. In fact, we've lost our way, as Jeremiah says to his people. We've lost our way on the dark mountains. And America is just coasting along. And when you start coasting, you're going downhill. What a message this book has. It's not very popular today, I can assure you that. And I'm afraid I'm not making friends and influencing people. But Jeremiah didn't either. So I'm going to stand with him because I believe that today there is still hope for revival. Because after these words, there came revival to the land.